From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the book of Judges. Joshua has died, as have many of the elders of Israel who outlived him. The nation of Israel was in Canaan, having won many outstanding victories. Yet there remained much land still to be conquered. In the course of this book, we see Israel failing to carry out the divine mandate of driving out the heathen from the land. Instead, they came to terms with the enemy, first by allowing them to remain among them, then by intermarrying with them, and finally by becoming their slaves. In the opening message of the series, Dr. Cairns is focusing on the first judge, Othniel. The first thing we see about this man is that he was called to serve God in a day of great apostasy. As a judge, Othniel's first task was to deal with the sin of Israel. This is the necessary order in God's plan. It is only after the sin problem is dealt with that battle with the enemy can begin. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, please listen to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Follow to Know. The text is found in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. Not all at once, but by degrees shall we attain to holy knowledge. And our business is to persevere and learn by little and little. We need not despair, though our progress may be slow, for we shall yet know. The Lord, who has become our teacher, will not give us up, however slow of understanding we may be. For it is not for his honor that any degree of human folly should baffle his skill. The Lord delights to make the simple wise. Our duty is to keep to our main topic and follow on to know, not this particular doctrine or that, but Jehovah himself, to know Father, Son, and Spirit, the triune God. This is life eternal. Let us keep to this, for in this way we shall gain complete instruction. By following on to know the Lord, we learn healing after being torn, binding up after smiting, and life after death. Experience has its perfect work when the heart follows the trackway of the Almighty Lord. My soul, keep thou close to Jesus, follow on to know God in Jesus, and so shalt thou come to the knowledge of Christ, which is the most excellent of all the sciences. The Holy Ghost will lead thee into all truth. Is not this his gracious office? Rely upon him to fulfill it.
Tears are ending flow. When my
Do you have a desire to study the Bible, but you're not really sure how to go about it? Several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, have produced a brief but very helpful brochure called 10 Commandments of Bible Study, which will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Holy Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study.
What are we going to say about Bible-believing churches? Listen, we're the very fundamentals of the faith of Jesus Christ are rarely, if ever, expounded, where the most of God's people haven't the slightest idea of the cardinal doctrines of justification by free grace through faith in the merits of Christ, acceptance with God in union with Christ, the priestly work of Christ, the kingly work of Christ, the person and work of the Holy Spirit. What are we going to say when God's people, churches naming His name, never even seem to mention these things? I think it was our brother Kelsch gave me a leaflet. If it wasn't you, Charlie, forgive me. It was someone else that gave me a leaflet that has been presented to many Christians. And you have an either-or answer to a series of questions. And if you answer in a certain way, although there are no names and no tags and no indications in the questions, if you answer in a certain way in a series of questions, you're really saying, I believe in Roman Catholic theology and the Roman Catholic way of salvation. And that leaflet has been presented to many fundamental Bible-believing questions. Time after time after time, they have ticked the box that says, I believe what Rome believes. Now, of course, they're not Roman Catholics. Of course, if you were to explain to them all that's involved, they would shy away from it. Their heart is better than that. But what I'm saying is, we're living in a day when the very influence of apostasy has got right into Bible-believing churches, and churches nowadays are failing to preach up Christ and the mighty doctrines of God's saving grace in Christ. And the result of that is always bondage. We find that in these days of Othniel, the people were brought into deep bondage. Do you not find among professing Christians today, do you not find an overwhelming bondage? I have had to spend more hours, and I'm not lamenting it, of course, I'm simply stating it, with Christians from all walks of life, some of them who will not be in this church even, but who are just in bondage. And they can't get out of bondage. And they're brought under the iron heel of tyranny. And they're wondering, where is this Christian victory that we're always hearing about, that we're reading about? And I tell you, this is but another indication that we are living in a dark day, a day of apostasy, so that the bondage engendered by it is even felt among God's people. So Othniel was called to serve in a day of apostasy. The second thing I noticed about him was that when he was called to serve, he was called as a judge. In other words, first and foremost, he was called to deal with sin and then to deal with its results. Now, the natural man would say, Lord, come and get this Mesopotamian king from off my back. Lord, come and lift this awful burden. Isn't that how we pray? When we get into trouble, even through our sin, and we find the bondage unbearable, the pain overwhelming, we come to the Lord and we look to the Lord to come and take away the pain. But that's not how the Lord starts. The Lord sent Othniel first to judge Israel. And only when he had judged Israel did he then go out to war for Israel. He is first a judge and then he is a deliverer. Of course, in that he's exactly a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You take the Lord's dealings with a sinner. When the Lord comes to a sinner, the first thing he does is deal with a sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When the Lord deals with sin, then he'll go on to deliver from the enemy. Then he'll deal with the problems that sin has caused. Then he'll give you the grace to overcome the various dilemmas of life. But first he's going to start dealing with your sin. That's always how the Lord does it. As I've said, Othniel here is a preeminent type of Christ. Time only allows me to indicate how he is so. We have his appointment. He was raised up of God. Hebrews 5 speaks of Christ our priest, that he didn't take this position and honor unto himself. He was raised up of God. Othniel's name, according to one leading linguist, is the Lion of God. It means the Lion of God. And surely there we have again a lovely picture of the Lord Jesus, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty Prince of God, the mighty King of glory, who has come forth to be the deliverer from sin and then the deliverer from our enemies. Then we have his power. The Spirit came upon him. We read in John 3 that the Spirit was given without measure unto the Lord Jesus. Then we have his conflict with the powers of darkness. The Lord Jesus Christ stepped onto the scene of time, and he did battle on our behalf with all the forces and furies of hell. Thank God we have his victory, for he prevailed. There you have, in a nutshell, a statement of Christ's work. He prevailed. When he went to Calvary, shrouded there in darkness, he undertook to bear the assault of hell and the sword of God's wrath against our sin. The Lord Jesus Christ bore it all, and he prevailed. And the third day, up from the grave, he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. And the result of his victory is rest. He gave rest to his people. The Lord Jesus says, "Come unto me, and you'll find rest unto your soul." In Hebrews 4 we read of the rest that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. A rest that is typified by the land of Canaan, but that is only vaguely there foreshadowed. A rest that spiritually fulfills all that type and all that shadow and goes way beyond it. I said that when Joshua led the people into the land, he set it before them and said, "Go in and possess it." When the Lord Jesus brings his people into salvation, he brings them into this rest, this enjoyment of Canaan blessing. And he says, "Go on to enjoy all that I have brought to you." Thank God, Othniel here reminds us of Christ. And for whom does Christ do this? Well, Othniel will give us yet another insight. Remember in chapter 1 that he's the one who purchased his bride on the field of battle. The Lord Jesus Christ purchased his bride, his church at Calvary. And to those purchased people, he gives the fruits of his victory. Now, if you would enter into the daily enjoyment of that victory, there must be the exercise by Christ through his word and spirit of a ministry in your life that is just like the ministry of Othniel in the lives of the children of Israel. Are we not so often like these people? We have been given so much. but we're not living up to our privileges? Are there not professing Christians here? And your heart condemns you tonight because for all your profession, you are not living up to the enjoyment of Christ. You are not personally enjoying the fullness of this land that flows with milk and honey. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. But you're compromising with sin. You're compromising with the world. You're losing out with God. You're not enjoying all that there is in Christ. He has wrought a mighty salvation for you. He has brought you a long way on the road to heaven. And yet tonight you are living in bondage and living under the heel of tyranny. Are there not Christians here whose hearts convict them that that is so? My friend, you need the ministry of the Lion of God to come to deal with sin. Let's face this once and for all. You are not going to enjoy Christ while you're compromising with the devil. You can't do it. Don't be carried away with the pursuit of happiness, for you'll never make it. You set out to be happy, and you're going to be the most miserable specimen of humanity that it'll ever be anybody's misfortune to look upon. Happiness is not an end to pursue. That's something that is so basic, and yet it's so easily overlooked. We find that there are people who say they're saved, and since I have so many young people here tonight, I want to zero in on you and make this clear to you. So many young people are making shipwreck of their lives, and they're saying, well, this makes me happy. This makes me feel good. I'm looking to be happy, and therefore they just go along in the way that they think is going to make them feel good. The way to disaster. The great end of living is the glory of God. Man's chief end or purpose in being is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. And there's where the happiness comes in. People who enjoy God will be truly happy. People who are living up to what they have in Christ will be truly happy. The point I'm making is, you set the Lord before you. You pursue the Lord and His glory. You set your sights on the goal of being like Christ. You set your sights on true holiness, and God will give you true happiness. That's always the way. But the Lord's going to have to deal with the sin that so many people have been pursuing, the idols that they have been setting up in their heart. If you're ever going to be blessed of God and brought into the place of enjoying the fullness of God in Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to come to the place that William Cowper, the great poet and hymn writer, came to. And he cried, "The dearest idol I have known, whate'er that idol be, help me to tear it from thy throne and worship only thee." The Lord is going to have to deal with sin in its roots before He gets to deal with its fruits in the problems of your life.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.